Take courage, heart dwellers, and don't be afraid. The Lord is with us, and He's been preparing us for this hour for several months. We must cleave to Him and stay in prayer. Last night it was brought to my attention, and I put out a word about the DEFCON level 3 we are at in this country, just to the prayer chain, and how NATO is massing their troops toward the Russian border, and how Obama wants to strike Syria and provoke Russia into the Third World War. One of our prayer warriors is a retired upper-level officer in the armed forces and understands all these posturings. And I'm going to share with you what he had to say here in a moment. Afterwards, I'll have a word from another core group member from the Lord. And later, I will be listening for the Lord's message to us, and we'll get it to you. So here is what this retired officer had to say. I have some NATO experience. NATO is a paper tiger, except for the USA, Germany, and Britain. It's not as strong a coalition as people think. They're doing a lot of saber rattling. The Europeans depend upon Soviet oil and natural gas. They all depend on USA Army and Air Force. Russia is very threatened by tactical nukes and missile defense in Eastern Europe. There is the yearly big game of chicken going on right now. Poland, in the middle, is a mud pit until June, so ground war is now feasible until early November. The window to start is shrinking. NATO is weak militarily, so they can only protect themselves with nukes. France is not really a part of NATO and will launch nukes once the Rhine River is crossed. If there's going to be a big invasion, it must occur on or before the 4th of July, or weather could be a serious factor against Russia. If Russia attacks, they will win because of how weak we are, caused by Obama. And then he cites Daniel 7:6 and states that he believes that Obama is the leopard. He goes on to say, tactical nukes are small, like the Hiroshima bomb. The big ones require a Hiroshima bomb as a detonator. Obama may use Syria to provoke Putin into World War III. If there's a war, Obama can declare martial law and keep his job. And on that note, I'm a little sketchy in my own understanding, only because I believe that he's going to possibly be the Mahdi or the new world leader, but he's definitely the Antichrist, and that is a world position. So it makes sense to me that he would totally devastate and ruin this country and then move into a position of ruling the world. So moving on. ISIS is the terrible army that Nathan talked about in his prophecies. That's the Israeli young man that had a near-death experience. Israel is their ultimate target because they hate God and love the beast. The Daniel 9 war comes before the Ezekiel 38 war. Israel will be conquered. Babylon is fallen is mentioned 2 times. And then he has in parentheses 4 Babylons. They are and will fall in this order: Europe, USA, Russia, then China. After they all fall, the reign of the beast. Evil hates good more than I can describe, and many good will be raptured, others martyred, and some will survive in the remnant. A lot of our Catholic brothers and sisters will be the remnant, by the way, guys. Defense condition, DEFCON, is a scale that tells our forces the rules of engagement. The next step is fire if fired upon. We are 100% alert. It's like war without bullets flying. The last step allows us to fire first. This could end in a de-escalating stand down or all-out war. It may last a while, too. I expect to change one way or another by early July because of the weather in Russia, China, and Eastern Europe. The North Korean leader is a pity. He may try and get World War III moving. China will execute him, or World War III will begin with a limited but fatal strike you have mentioned in your conversations with our Blessed Lord. That would be the Dome of the Rock. Until shots are fired, this can back down, but some jerk could get it going quickly. I'm going to keep praying and trusting in Jesus. The worst thing that will happen, I will be in heaven with my loved ones and my special Heart Dwellers family. And that's not so bad. And that's the end of what he shared with me, and he's going to keep us updated. He lives outside of Baltimore, just past the foothills leading up to the mountains there. So he's living in a valley on the other side of that ridge of mountains, which if things happen the way it's been spoken of, the water's going to pass right through that valley all the way to the foot of the Alleghenies. The next word that I had was from one of our intercessors, someone we depend on a great deal for prayer. And she said, the Father said that it was vitally important that we pray for the nations, that we pray for its leaders, even those who are doing evil. He said that you cannot imagine the changes that can occur if even one of these hearts is turned to him. Pray for Israel. Pray for America, and in particular, New York and Miami, as well as the surrounding islands. Pray for all nations. Pray for the planet. Pray for the souls of all the soldiers in the world. Pray for the souls of all men in the world. Pray for the land, for the oceans, and for all the animals. Then he quickened Ezekiel 14:11 to her. Now, I'm just going to read you quickly what that line says, but then I want to share with you the rest, the entire chapter, because it really points to the sins of Israel. So Ezekiel 14:11 in the King James says, that the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. This is what we had talked about in a previous message, where the Lord mentioned that Israel was divided between the religious, the devout Jews, and the young worldly Jews, cultural Jews. So there's a great division there and a great gap, and he's going to allow all this to happen, what I'm about to read to you. He's going to allow it in order to bring them back to him. This is the beginning of Ezekiel 14. Some of the elders of Israel came to me and sat down in front of me. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? Therefore speak to them and tell them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. When any of the Israelites set up idols in their hearts and put a wicked stumbling block before their faces, and then go to a prophet, I, the Lord, will answer them myself in keeping with their great idolatry. I will do this to recapture the hearts of the people of Israel, who have all deserted me for their idols. Therefore, say to the people of Israel, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, repent, turn from your idols and renounce all your detestable practices. When any of the Israelites or any foreigner residing in Israel separate themselves from me and set up idols in their hearts and put a wicked stumbling block before their faces, and then go to a prophet to inquire of me, I, the Lord, will answer them myself. I will set my face against them and make an example and a byword. I will remove them from my people, and then you will know that I am the Lord. By the way, this is not the King James Version. I think it's the NIV. I'm going to skip down a little bit to Jerusalem's judgment is unescapable. That's the title for this. Starting at Ezekiel 12, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, if a country sins against me by being unfaithful, and I stretch out my hand against it, to cut off its food supply and send famine upon it, and kill its people and their animals, even if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they could save only themselves by their righteousness, declares the Sovereign Lord. And I don't know if you remember Nathan's prophecy about, I believe, the two witnesses rising from the dead and splitting the valley in the Mount of Olives, and the Lord standing there and sorting out the ones who were sincere and taking them into a provision for safety, and the ones that weren't, excluding them. Anyway, I thought that was interesting because it says here, Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it. They could save only themselves. And the Lord is going to separate the sheep from the goats at that time. Or if I bring a sword against that country and say, let the sword pass throughout the land and kill its people and their animals. As surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, even if these three men were in it, they could not save their own sons or daughters. They alone would be saved. Or if I send a plague into that land and pour out my wrath on it, through bloodshed, killing its people and their animals, as surely as I live, declares the Sovereign Lord, even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they could save neither son nor daughter. They would save only themselves by their righteousness. For this is what the Sovereign Lord says. How much worse will it be when I send against Jerusalem my four dreaded judgments, sword and famine, wild beasts and plague, to kill its men and their animals? Yet there will be some survivors, sons and daughters, who will be brought out of it. They will come to you, and when you see their conduct and their actions, you will be consoled regarding the disaster I have brought on Jerusalem. For you will know that I have done nothing in it without cause, declares the Sovereign Lord. Well, we know that the Lord loves Israel dearly and that he is bringing his people back to him. And I think that these passages are shadows of what they're about to go through with the armies of the world aligned against them. Right now it looks like it's about Syria, but I think that's just a decoy for what really is going on. So I want to reiterate this because it's so important that we pray. I'm going to repeat this word from one of our prayer warriors. The Father said that it was vitally important that we pray for the nations, that we pray for its leaders, even those who are doing evil. He said that you cannot imagine the changes that can occur if even one of these hearts is turned to him. Wow, just even one heart. Pray for Israel, pray for America, especially New York and Miami, as well as the surrounding islands. Pray for all nations, pray for the planet, pray for the souls of all the soldiers in the world, pray for the souls of all men in the world, and pray for the land, for the oceans, and for all animals. So that's our job right now. The Lord is calling us into prayer for all of these things. May his peace sustain you and his courage, knowing that he is with us and we can rest in him. The Lord bless you, Heart Dwellers.